It's River to River from Iowa Public Radio News. I'm Ben Kiefer. Have you been out to the dog races in recent years? Well, it may surprise you that commercial dog racing is illegal in 38 states, but not here in Iowa. Iowa is one of only 7 states that still have legal and operational greyhound tracks, but their popularity and their revenues have dropped immensely with the growth of Iowa's casino industry. Now state lawmakers are looking at proposals to end greyhound racing at the only tracks left in Iowa. That would be the Mystique in Dubuque and Bluffs Run in Council Bluffs. We'll get that plan when we talk to Iowa Senator Jeff Danielson in just a moment. But first, let's talk to a couple of other folks. Let's assess the impact of greyhound racing on our state. Jim Quilty is with us, attorney for the Iowa Greyhound Association. Hi, Jim.
Hi there, Ben. Happy to be here.
Great to have you on the show. Jim, tell me, first of all, give us an idea of the size of this industry in Iowa, greyhound racing, and the impact.
Absolutely. There's no real dispute that our industry is a job creator in this state. The difference is how much of a job creator. The Las Vegas-based casino that's led the charge against us agrees that we employ at least 543 people in the state and have an economic impact of $23.8 million per year off of a little under $14 million in purses that are paid. Our own studies suggest that we employ closer to 1,200 people per year and have an over $70 million impact on our economy. So we are an absolute job creator in this state. We've been here for close to 30 years, and we hope to continue.
Mm-hmm. And yet profits are dropping when we look just at the greyhound racing. Two tracks combined in 1986 earned $186 million, according to what I have. 2 years ago, that number was just under $6 million, a 97% decline. This is not a growing industry, or is it?
Well, you got to look at that in two different ways. First of all, the numbers that you just quoted are slightly misleading because they exclude simulcast revenue. And simulcast revenue is when we race live here in Iowa, we send out our race to other tracks across the country and they wager on our races. And that revenue is actually growing and growing dramatically. A little over a decade or so ago when we started it at Horseshoe Casino in Council Bluffs, we were only doing about $12 million in simulcast revenue. Last year, we were well above $40 million. So That's a fairly dramatic growth, and we just started simulcasting at Mystique. So that's part of the picture that doesn't get talked about too often. But the bigger picture and the reality is that when slots were brought into the state of Iowa, it was part of a grand bargain. We knew it was going to hurt wagering on greyhound racing. But in order to bring in that casino-style gaming, we cooperated in that effort in exchange for the casino's agreement to support racing on an ongoing basis. And now that agreement, they're trying to walk away from it.
Okay, and that agreement was for an indefinite period of time, no limit on that.
Absolutely. It was to help support the agricultural-based industry that is greyhound racing and horse racing. That was all part of the same deal.
Okay, Jim Quilty, attorney for the Iowa Greyhound Association. Stand by there, Jim. Let's talk to the president and CEO of the Dubuque Area Chamber of Commerce. Remember I mentioned that the Mystique in Dubuque is one of the two tracks, greyhound tracks in Iowa. Molly Grover is with us, president and CEO of the Dubuque Area Chamber of Commerce. Hi, Molly.
Hi there, Mr. Kiefer. Thank you for the invitation.
Thank you for being on our show. Now, you have a different opinion of the future of greyhound racing in the state. What is it?
We do. The 2014 legislative agenda of the Dubuque Area Chamber of Commerce, the highlight is the supporting the legislation to end greyhound racing in the state.
Mm-hmm. What are the reasons?
Well, the biggest reason is this simply just isn't working anymore. If this were any other business in the private sector, it would have been shut down a long time ago. There's $4 million here in the Dubuque market via the Mystique Casino, a non-for-profit casino, want to make that distinction, that is a subsidy to just make greyhound racing viable in our community. That's $4 million that could go back towards economic development, to community development, and to our citizens. That's job creation. That is economic vitality, and that is very important to our community.
Mm-hmm. So, but you don't deny that there would be job loss, the jobs that Jim Quilty just named?
I can speak on behalf of Dubuque and the Mystique Casino, and I know that it is very important that those employees that are associated with the industry via the casino, they are working to find them other places within the casino or a soft landing, and that is very important.
So tell me the future that you would like to see in Dubuque.
We would like to see an end to Greyhound racing. It is, again, if it was any other business in the private sector, a $4.5 million subsidy on an annual basis surely wouldn't make any sense, and it surely wouldn't be viable in the long term. Ending Greyhound racing provides our community an opportunity to have those dollars go back to community development, to our not-for-profits, in grants, and to economic development activities that help create jobs, and to our citizens as well. Those are dollars that are better served in the long run to economic development efforts and community development efforts that make Dubuque one of the best places to live, work, and play.
Mm-hmm. Jim Quilty, what do you think of that argument that this is not an industry flourishing, at least in Iowa? I recognize you had the simulcast comment there, but is it perhaps a question here that these monies might be better spent than subsidizing Greyhound racing?
Well, I disagree with it. I want to go back, first of all, though, and address the comment about how the employees at Dubuque, at least, will be reassigned to other positions. What we know is that is a small part of the picture. There are jobs well outside the track, the small farmers, the vets, the feed suppliers. Those jobs are not going to be replaced. They're going to be lost in Iowa forever. By the industry, by the Las Vegas-based casino's own measurements, Iowa is getting a 2-to-1 bang for every buck by helping to subsidize this industry. And we subsidize industries across the state. That is the norm. And Greyhound racing is no different. By our measurement, Iowa is getting a bang more like a 5-to-6-to-1 bang for buck. So I think that's great returns on the investment. It's been a successful investment proven over the years, and there's no reason to walk away from it at this point in time.
Okay, well, I want to reach out to our listeners because we have several guests yet to hear from, and because we're on only for the half hour on this particular topic. You can email us your opinions on this. Should Greyhound racing end on Iowa's two remaining tracks in Dubuque and Council Bluffs? Email us, rivertoriver@iowapublicradio.org, or you can tweet us at IPR Talk or leave a message on our Facebook page. Let's talk to another player connected with Greyhound racing in Iowa. Joreen King is president of Heartland Greyhound Adoption. She is a Bondurant resident, a local business owner. Hi, Joreen.
Hello, Ben. Thank you for having me.
Thank you for being on our program. Tell us about your connection to the Greyhound racing industry in Iowa.
Well, Heartland Greyhound Adoption is a nonprofit organization that takes in the retired racing greyhounds and finds them permanent homes. So we work with primarily Bluffs Run in Council Bluffs. We work with the trainers and the owners of the retired racers. We have good relationships with them. We have for over a decade. And when a dog is no longer winning in the races, then they call us and we take that dog and find it a home for them.
How many of these racing dogs or former racing dogs are there in the state?
Oh, in the state, former racing dogs. I can tell you in the 12 years that Heartland Greyhound Adoption has been in existence, we've adopted out over 800 dogs. But we also help to move dogs outside the state to other states where there are greyhound adoption groups that need dogs to find homes in the Denver area and Wisconsin, Minnesota. Mm-hmm. So dogs even move without, you know, through us to other organizations.
Can you tell us what their lives are like while they're racing?
While they're racing, I have been at many farms where they have beautiful long grass-filled runs where the dogs can run and play. These are athletes. If the athletes are not taken well care of, they are not going to be good runners. So I know there's that image out there that these dogs are in little boxes and not taken care of, but that is not what we see here in the state of Iowa.
Mm-hmm. And Jim Quilty, you'll second that.
I'd absolutely agree with that. These dogs live fairly pampered lives. You and I would be happy with the type of treatment they get.
Okay, here's an email on that point from Eric. Eric, listening to our program, he writes, Greyhound racing encourages animal abuse, both as greyhounds are trained and when they are discarded. Taxpayers should not be forced to support this business. Joreen, you work directly with his dogs. What do you have to say about Eric's comment there on email?
In all the dogs that we have gotten from farms and from the track, we have not seen any abused dogs. If I saw an abused dog, there is an avenue that I can go through and have that kennel inspected. It's never happened. We have trainers who are attached to the dogs. They can tell us the personality of the dogs, the quirks of the dogs. Some of them come in if they've been in a kennel for an extended period of time, racing for a particular trainer. They come in spoiled. We have to teach them, you know, no, you can't stand up and give me a hug. You need to keep your feet on the floor. It's just not the image that has been painted out there in the media.
For those who don't know the disposition of a greyhound, what are they typically like? What are their personalities like?
They're typically a quieter breed. Some will bark, but they're quieter. They're very in tune to their people. They will follow you from room to room as you go about your day. They're a 40-mile-an-hour couch potato. So they run, they sprint, and they're ready for a nap.
Okay. Also joining us now, Senator Jeff Danielson is with us, Iowa Senate District 30. Senator Danielson, thank you very much for joining us.
It's good to be with you.
You've been listening to this conversation. Now, you want to make changes to the current industry, take some action in the legislature.
Describe. It's good to be with you.
Do you hear me, Senator? Senator Danielson, do you hear me?
It's good to be with you.
Senator Danielson evidently not hearing us. Senator? No, not hearing us. We'll try to get that corrected here in the few minutes. I wonder, let me go back to Jim Quilty. I'm sure you're aware of the legislative proposals there. Is there any the legislature is considering a phased buyout of the two casinos that they should help cushion the blows to the jobs within the jobs in the industry. Money would be then, as described by Molly, used to go into Iowa's economy in different ways. Is there any proposal that you're hearing from legislators, and hopefully we'll hear it from Senator Danielson in just a moment, that you could start with, that you anything that, that sounds like a start to a negotiation that, that you could be agreeable to on behalf of the Iowa Greyhound Association?
Well, Ben, I would just say on that that every year, and we've been under attack for several years now, led by the Las Vegas-based Caesars Entertainment, but that every year the tracks come to us and negotiate purses and financial support for the industry. This year's no different. Like every year, we engage in the discussion, we do our due diligence, and we try and do what's best for the industry. And this year, like every year in the past, we're going through that very same process early in the legislative session. So it's hard for me to comment beyond that.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Tell us a little bit, Molly Grover, maybe you're aware of some of the legislative action that might be proposed or the negotiations.
I'm not specifically aware of all the particulars as of yet. I know that there are things being discussed.
Let me interrupt you, Molly, if I could, because I think we do have Senator Jeff Danielson on with us. Jeff Danielson, are we back with you?
You bet. It's good to be with you.
Good to be with you. We apologize for not having that hooked up right the first time. Tell us, what is the legislative action you're looking into in regards to greyhound racing in Iowa?
Right. So the process in the state government committee, which is responsible for gaming, is to file study bills, begin the process at the subcommittee level, then to the full committee and onto the floor. So there's three steps in each chamber, both the Senate and the House. At this point, we have competing proposals. We have proposals from the Iowa Greyhound Association, and we also have a hybrid proposal from both of the current casinos in Council Bluffs and Dubuque. So we'll hold subcommittees. At some point, the conversations have to come together. Mm-hmm. And as chair of gaming, who has dealt with a lot of issues over the last few years related to gaming, we will try to forge a win-win solution. Gaming bills are not successful when they're a win-lose. That's our experience in the Capitol. So we're encouraged that the parties are communicating and that they are willing to discuss the range of options. That's new this year from previous years. But I listened to the comments of the program earlier. I was able to hear. You weren't able to hear me. And I think they've outlined pretty well the rough parameters. It's our job in the Senate to try to forge a consensus around those ideas.
Mm-hmm. At this point, can you give us a sense of the two proposals you mentioned?
Well, I think they both acknowledge the economic conditions. I do think it's not a true cost-benefit that people are looking at. I think they're narrowly looking at the payouts, at the tracks. There's a whole supply chain and small businesses that are related to the entire industry. So we have to consider the big picture as a gaming policy. We think there should be the ability of those who still want Greyhound racing to have it in some form, even if these two tracks don't want to have it. So
mm-hmm.
I think there's a chance for a consensus, and we're going to continue the conversation.
Well, what about the direction of the industry, Greyhound racing, having such an immense fall off in popularity and revenues? You think that still leaves room for this industry in the state?
You bet. We've done the same exact thing for horse racing. Most people don't know it. We have online gaming in Iowa. You can bet online for horses through multi-state agreements. And we believe there will be some form of Greyhound racing in the United States. It might be less tracks and less venues, but we think Iowa should still be a part of that if it still exists.
Mm-hmm. Are you hearing, I think you perhaps heard the email from one of our listeners about this industry encouraging animal abuse, and Jareen denying that as a president of the Heartland Greyhound Adoption. She deals with these animals, and I think the state has a lot of things in place to prevent any possible abuse. Do you see the other misconceptions about it coming into this debate that you're having about the future of greyhound racing in the state?
Well, yeah, I heard the comments about economic incentives and slash subsidies. Most Iowans don't realize that we forego half of our state revenue in tax incentives for businesses of all kinds, understanding that a dynamic, diverse economy is important. So we do the same thing for horse racing as we do for dog racing. Those arguments aren't compelling to me. Going forward, though, if those existing tracks don't want to do it, we still believe those who want to participate in greyhound racing should have that opportunity, and we'll try to help forge that kind of an agreement.
Mm-hmm. How hopeful are you that greyhound racing will continue on in Iowa then?
Well, I'm absolutely certain we won't be able to end it in 1 year, even if everybody agreed to that. We need to be very thoughtful about, and I don't believe they are going to agree to that, given the stakeholders' positions. So under no circumstance will it all of a sudden go away. We will have a thoughtful process about how to think about the trends going forward and what Iowa's policy will be towards greyhound racing. And my job is to drive a consensus. As I said, mm-hmm. we're not interested in a win-lose proposal. I don't think it would get the votes in the Capitol, and that's not going to be my approach.
When you look at a win-win solution here between all parties, the stakeholders involved, what are the main sticking points that you have to attend to?
Well, to me, a win-win is if the tracks that are currently running greyhounds don't want to do it, let's figure out a way for them to go to eliminate greyhound racing at their physical locations and find a way for greyhound racing to still exist in Iowa, perhaps at another track that's interested, perhaps a new one, and give the greyhound racing advocates and those that have spent a lot of money investing in those businesses in Iowa over the last couple decades the opportunity to do that. And so, you know, if folks keep that concept in mind, we're open to forging a consensus around that type of an idea.
What's your best guess on what's likely to happen in these regards this session that will end in May or June?
Well, surprisingly, I chair the gaming committee, but I'm not a betting man, so I'm not going to wager on the likely outcome. My job is always to keep the stakeholders communicating at the table, working through substantive good faith questions and concerns, and as committee chair, I pledge to do that for all of the stakeholders.
Okay, State Senator Jeff Danielson, thank you very much. Let's go back to Joreen King. What would happen to the animals you deal with if greyhound racing was eliminated in not in the short term, but in a longer term in some fashion?
Well, of course, then, being a nonprofit group, the first thing we think of is how are we going to be able to take care of the animals that we would suddenly get in? That number can be argued from different viewpoints as to how many. It could be 800 to 1,000 dogs. And not knowing the time frame they give us, if we would have 6 months or 3 months or a year, money is the first thing that comes to mind, is how are we going to do this? Where are we going to move them? And how does a nonprofit group put together by volunteers manage that number of dogs?
Mm-hmm. And State Senator Danielson, I assume that would be part of any sort of negotiation, too. What would happen with the potentially 1,000 dogs here?
Yes, absolutely. We would have a thoughtful and humane policy going forward, and it would not be short time frames like 3 months or 6 months. We would have a multi-year proposal that addresses all of the concerns of the animal advocates.
Okay. We'll go back quickly. We have just a minute left, so I'll give 30 seconds to Jim Quilty and then Molly Grover. Jim Quilty, very quickly, 30 seconds.
Well, you know, as Senator Danielson said, we're going to participate in the process and try and do what's right by the industry and by the state, and hopefully everybody makes progress towards the end.
Okay, Molly Grover, what have you heard that you like?
I would like to just add from a local perspective, $55 million over recent years has been the subsidy to revive a failing industry. The facts are there. The industry is losing popularity. It's only in 7 states. A strict business case alone, looking at the annual subsidy, any other business would have shut down long ago. These are dollars that are preventing us from economic development activities and community development activities. They're preventing our citizens from being able to grow and prosper.
Okay. I have to cut you. We're running out of time. Molly Grover of the Dubuque Area Chamber of Commerce, Jim Quilty, attorney for the Iowa Greyhound Association. We do want to thank State Senator Jeff Danielson and Joreen King. Thank you all for this conversation. Coming up in just a moment, we'll listen back to my conversation from last year with anthropologist Matt Hill of the University of Iowa. Fascinating conversation about the history of our relationship with dogs and what makes it so unique. That's coming up after a short break. This is River to River from Iowa Public Radio News.